San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, coming to you live from the lovely and legendary La Valencia Hotel with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, and out to the desert. Now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a philanthropist. He's a competitive marathon runner, and he is a core member of his Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable San Diego and a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families. I always get winded when I try to say that. Richard Muzio, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Tomorrow I'm just going to be a half marathon runner.
Oh, really? Where does that take place?
America's Finest City from Point Loma to Balboa Park tomorrow morning.
Oh, yes. I ran that in 1984, and that was the last half marathon I ever did. So
I know. You can chase Joe with a gun, and he still won't run. So.
There is a hill from, I think, is it C Street up to...
Around Indian A, about the last mile and a half.
Yeah, but then when you get up that hill up to Laurel Street, right, and you cross the bridge.
Then you cross the bridge and finish over by...
That's a hill. You know, you're driving...
It's a real hill, yeah.
In your car, you don't realize it's a hill, but when you're running 13 miles and that's your last couple miles, it's tough. So, but not for you. What do you think you'll do with him?
2 years ago, around a 147.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm recovering from this torn Achilles.
All right. Well, pace yourself.
Depends on the weather. If it's cool, I might do that again.
Yeah. And when you're not running, you're writing books. So tell the folks about, sir, what's your play?
So what's your play? About my experiences as a scrapbook maker for the famous tennis player Bobby Riggs back in 1973 during the height of the women's liberation movement when he was playing Billie Jean King and Margaret Court. We want everybody to go to Amazon.com on September 10th and buy it. Also, my website, www.sowhatsyourplay.com, went up live yesterday, so you can also order it there. You can order it before September 10th if you're really busy.
And it's pretty cool. It's about your experience as a 14-year-old East County High School student.
El Capitan High School, yeah.
And keeping Bobby Riggs' media, his scrapbooks from all his press.
2,500 pages on 11 by 17 and a half paper, the largest collection of material on this planet about those two famous tennis matches.
Right.
40th anniversary. And then, of course, the evening of September 10th, you can watch the Billie Jean King documentary that we were consultants on.
Correct.
On PBS.
Catalyst.
Historian, Finding Lost Archives. We did it all.
Yes. So I don't think without us it wouldn't get done. And I'm going to keep saying it, damn it, because that's the truth.
Was there a four-second delay there, Justin?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I said damn it.
I know.
I didn't say the G word.
I know.
But anyway, PBS.
September 10th that evening. Buy the book sometime during the day, Amazon.com or SoWhatsYourPlay.com.
Right, American Masters, and it's the first time they've ever done an athlete, so that's pretty spectacular.
Exactly.
Hey, we interviewed the CEO of Stone Brewing Company a few months ago, Greg Cook, and it is his 17th anniversary, and they're having a big celebration out there at Stone Brewing Company up in San Marcos. So congratulations to him and them. That is a really great outfit.
And if I could thank one other establishment, Alexander's on 30th and North Park. If you're not in La Jolla to eat and you find yourself in North Park, you want to go to Alexander's on 30th. We went there last Sunday night. Alex, thanks for taking care of us. Best food anywhere in zip code 9101 to 92116.
Great. We're going to talk more about food and wine in a little bit with Tammy and Chef Daniel here from La Valencia. But before we do that, I want to plug the band that's playing, or the orchestra. Well, it's the music. It's Malamaña. It's flamenco guitar down here in the lobby. And tonight it's Haute La Jolla Nights all throughout La Jolla.
Every street corner.
Yeah, there's about nine bands all throughout downtown, and they play till 9, so if you don't have anything planned, come on out. There's a lot of great music right around La Jolla Village tonight, and they do it September 14th and November 16th, twice more this year.
Demi and I checked everybody out on the way to and back from Cups.
Really?
Picked up some cupcakes.
After this show, I'll be out there listening to a lot of good music, too. So also, they every Sunday out here in Scripps Park, right down the hill from Lava Valencia here, they have free concerts for the family. The Heroes are there tomorrow from 2 to 4, so if you're not doing anything tomorrow, get down there. And now I'd like to introduce the wine director from La Valencia. She's got some more great wine and information to tell us about what she's doing here. So, Tammy Wong, good evening. How are you?
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. This is great wine you brought us. I'm getting a little hot under the collar. This is getting me warmed up here. Tell us about this.
Fantastic. Well, this is one of my favorites, and it occurred to me this morning that today is the day you drink pink wine at the Pink Hotel. And being summertime, all the rosés from Provence come out, which is one of my favorite areas. This particular one is the Domaine de Terrebrune from Bandol, which is a small little appellation in Provence in the south of France. The primary grape is Mourvèdre, which is a really hard-to-manage grape. It can be gamey and difficult. It goes through crazy stages when it's in the red form. Tempier is probably the most famous one, but when it's in rosé, it's just beautiful and crisp and light. And the one thing that strikes me about this particular one is this strong, like, limestone minerality in it. But this is an organically farmed wine, and it's perfect on the patio. Any rosés are great because it's from a red grape. It pairs well with barbecue and ribs and burgers and whatever you want to eat on the patio. This is the perfect pairing. And we have a really killer selection of rosés. If I say so myself, you should come to the OVT and drink pink wine at the Pink Lady.
Wonderful. And you said there's another food event coming up. Do we want Chef Daniel to tell us about that, or would you like...
We can have Chef Daniel tell us about the Heavenly Hog Fall Pig Out.
Chef Daniel, why don't you jump in here and grab Tammy's headset.
Take Tammy's, okay.
Yeah. And tell us about this and some other great things you're doing here. We have Chef Daniel Barron with us now, who can talk to us about food and his culinary expertise. Good evening.
Good evening.
So what can you tell us?
Tell us about the pig, Dan.
about the pig. We've actually got a local farm, Cook's Pig Ranch from Julian, is going to be bringing us three or four 250 to 300-pound hogs.
Wow.
For that, we are going to break each one of the hogs down into nine different pieces. Nine pieces, nine courses, nine different chefs. Each chef has its own course, and each course is a different part of the pig.
Oh, my God. And that's the event October 11th that Tammy was telling us about?
Yes, that's October 11th. Tickets are $125. They can be purchased off of our website and off of Facebook.
So you would show up here, and you can sample what every chef has prepared,
Well,
right?
It's actually going to be a full dinner. It's going to be a sit-down dinner. Sit-down dinner. We have Nate Sirocco from Toronado doing nine beer pairings. And then we have Tammy, our wine director, doing nine wine pairings. So you are actually able to choose a wine pairing or a beer pairing for those who prefer
amazing
bubbly beer.
And it's called the Heavenly Hog Fall Pig Out. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. We picked it up from just the other day.
And that'll be at 6:30 on Monday, October 11th, with nine chefs here at La Valencia. Where will they be dining? Throughout the all over the hotel? Or
the med room and the patio.
Med room and the patio. Mm-hmm. Wow. Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, that is terrific. And anything else you want to tell us that's on the menu that you've created lately? Or
You know what? Something that we're really, really proud of that is very unique to us right now, and hopefully more restaurants will actually pick up on it soon, is we have just done what we call closing the circle. Closing the circle is closing the circle between the farm, the chef, and the guest.
Mm.
So what I mean by that is the products that we use, the lettuce, the tomatoes, the trimmings from all of that, the carrots, all of our produce, we take those trimmings, we put them in a green bin. A farm comes and takes those trimmings and feeds their livestock.
Mm-hmm.
We then buy the livestock. We serve the livestock to the guest.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, it's a no-waste system.
Excellent.
We feed the animals that we're serving.
Excellent.
So we have farms that are actually working specifically and exclusively for us, and we're buying everything that they can supply us.
That's great, and it's all delicious and outstanding and fresh, so absolute best. But I think with that, Justin, let's take our first break now, and then we can transition over to our guests, and we'll finish the show, okay? So let's do that. All right, Justin? We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life. All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life, live from La Valencia Hotel with Richard Musio and myself, and we have two guests tonight, and I'll let Richard introduce our first guest tonight.
Well, introduce our first guest tonight. It's one of our wonderful sponsors. That would be Mr. Sean Puckett from Regions Bank, best business bank here in San Diego. Also, there was a great article about Regions Bank and the San Diego Union about 2 weeks ago. It was Monday, August 5th, so not quite 2 weeks ago, featuring Steve Sefton. president of the bank, and just a great article. But Sean, in addition to being in studio tonight to talk to us about what's going on in the banking world, brought in one of his really cool clients. All of his clients are really cool, but he brought in one of them because this particular client, I know, won a very interesting award here in 2013. So, Sean, why don't you introduce who's with all of us sitting here at the table at La Vie?
Thank you, Richard, and thank you for having me at the La Valencia. This is quite a nice place.
A little bit better than the studio. They never gave us wine at the studio, no. Did they? Ever?
No, the ambiance is a little bit better, but... Yeah, I'm really excited to have Joe Devona here tonight from ITAV Solutions. Joe started his IT and AV company in 2009, and this year was recognized by the San Diego Business Journal as the second fastest growing company in all of San Diego. And so I'm proud to call him my client, and the accomplishments he's already had are amazing, and the future is looking bright. So
Joe, without any numbers, what kind of growth rate do you have, just so we know how fast the second fastest growing company in San Diego is growing?
Thank you so much for having me. We were experiencing about 100% year growth over year. I think San Diego Business Journal reported 378%, somewhere around there, for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's been exciting.
Boy, that's moving fast. How do you manage that kind of growth?
Put your seatbelt on by the seat of our pants. It's been it's an exciting run for sure.
So tell us a little bit about what ITAV Solutions does.
Well, we're an audiovisual company primarily with an IT flair. We manage AV for large corporations. We bring in a real boutique approach to having conference rooms, boardrooms, audiovisual buildouts. So. A lot of the AV that has to get refreshed year over year, we'll work with super large organizations that have, national and global operations, and be able to send teams out to manage it.
You do a lot of conferences and conventions and things like that, or is it more just for the in-house businesses?
Yeah, it's more the in-house stuff. We go to a lot of conferences, but they're sort of industry conferences for our industry.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Did you see a need in the marketplace for what you do? I mean, what was the driving force behind you creating this business?
Well, the need was actually on my own. I've been in the business for about 20 years, and... in the 2009 crash of every stock market ticker that you've seen out there, I was left out on the street. Went through a layoff situation, and we were able to, with the loving support of my wife and family and friends, they said, it's time that you start your own thing. So out of my garage, we started the business. We did $750,000 our first year.
Holy crap.
$1.5 million the next year.
Wow.
Then we started hiring employees. And
I can do the math if it's 378% over 3 years. Yeah. I can actually do the math. So that's amazing growth, especially given when you started.
Yeah, something good to be said about starting at the bottom.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Nowhere to go but up.
That's
right?
It, right?
So how did Sean and you connect or meet? Did the Regents find you, or did you find them?
I had a really frustrating time working with the big banks of our world. They definitely have their place.
You can mention their names if you want.
Well, there's only five of them, so everyone knows.
Yeah, everybody knows who they are.
Blank of America.
Blank. Oh, that's
exactly.
Good.
It was... when you're looking for credit, and 2009, again, everything dried up. So we really were, my business, we have to buy parts, you got to sell it, and you got to install it, right? So we sold it, have to buy the parts, got to install the parts, and, the clients don't want to pay you until, 30 or 45 days later, sometimes longer. So you have to pay your creditors, and that cash flow is king. So, that's literally what that whole management and starting and growing has been the most challenging part.
So I'm curious, because Regents Bank is what's known as a community bank. We were talking about the five large banks. Did you start with large banks?
I did. Yeah, I had been a banking member for a long time with Bank of America. And, again, they have their place. I still use them for my, some personal checkings and things of that sort. But what I needed was really a banker. And I didn't know I needed it, to tell you the truth. I know when I... put out an application. I was going online, and you know, I was kind of like a number, and you know, understandably, you know, I could see why they would treat us like that. I mean, they
have a, well, the old adage is big banks, you know, they only want to lend you money when you don't need it, right?
Right, and especially the 2009 time frame. So, you know, we met. I don't know, when did we meet?
Probably some Business Journal event.
Your
or something.
Payroll provider referred
that's
me
right.
in
oh,
to meet
yeah.
with you. Yeah, so it's a referral.
Yeah, we have a great CPA and a payroll provider, and mm-hmm. and that worked out when that introduction happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, community banking, Sean, maybe you can address that. I heard Governor Michael Dukakis speak, and he said, you know, addressing the crash of 07-08, he said a lot of community banks were doing just fine through there because they didn't get into all these other, you know, securities, just kept doing their local banking business. But how many local banks are there, Sean, in the country? I mean, there's several thousand, right?
In community banking. Oh, in the country?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The numbers are staggering right. relative to the big banks, obviously, when the big banks have the market share. But the small bank, community bank, boutique bank, that's all contracting.
Mm-hmm.
They're just dropping off because of the regulatory environment.
Mm-hmm. Is that Dodd-Frank?
Yeah,
part?
So and okay. Bank Secrecy Act and a whole host of things that are requiring the small banks to hire a lot of employees to basically manage compliance.
Mm.
I mean, it's not a revenue generating thing. It's just being that buffer between the government and the bank.
Is that one of the biggest challenges in facing community banks right now?
It is, and I think that's why you've seen community banks banding together,
mm-hmm.
merging acquisitions, big. You know, or just deciding that, hey, we're just going to throw our hands up and we can't do this anymore and selling to a big bank. But everybody's reaching for that $1 billion in asset size.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the magic number.
Maybe is there any way to change the legislation? Obviously, maybe make it apply differently for different size banks. Is that, you know, why should you have to comply with the same regs that?
So right. Banks? So yeah. Ideally, there would be a different set of rules for a completely different size business. You
mm-hmm.
know, you compare a $1 trillion asset business with a $1 billion asset mm-hmm. business. It's two completely different worlds, right?
Right.
But and that's hard to do, and the government regulation, it's just hard. It just the pendulum swung so far the other way because
mm-hmm.
of what happened with the collateral, you know, the securities, mortgage-backed securities situation.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but how great is it when you could find a client like this and turn his whole life and business around?
But Sean, let me back up to
yeah.
follow Joe's question. When
yeah.
when you meet a prospect like Joe DiMona at ITAB Solutions. I mean, what are you looking for? What are you thinking about?
Well, when I to be honest with you, when I met Joe, he was quite a bit smaller than the companies that I work with. But all I have is my time. You know, my time mm-hmm. is my money. And I saw in Joe's company a highly scalable model, and he was working in an industry that was ailing, so to speak, and he had a different solution, and he also had connections with all of the right types of companies. And he also understood what I was telling him when I was talking about a consultative banking or an advisory bank, you know, a sounding board for your business, all of those things that we do well. And so when I met Joe, I saw that he had it as a business owner and that he was going to make it. So I took a risk with my time and the capital, and now second fastest growing company in San Diego. No, you know, thanks to me, really, but just to his brilliant idea and perseverance.
You know, let me jump in here for a second. Yeah. You know, when I had said that I didn't know I needed a banker, it's the banker, Sean, that really sold me. You know, it's an amazing experience when you don't have that and you're alone, scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you can't talk financial numbers with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you need that, you know, that sounding board as a young startup company or even a, you know, a mature company. And
mm-hmm.
that's... To this day, you know, we went out to lunch. We have quarterly meetings. We talk on the phone once a month, at least. And we talk all the time. So it's
tell Richard who was at the lunch.
Which one?
Well, Joe and his CPA and I get together quarterly.
Oh, what a novel yeah. concept
yeah.
for all the advisors to get together
yeah.
at the same table to talk about things. Because it's simply this thing called collaboration is talked about a lot, but it almost never, ever happens.
Yeah, yeah, Steve Wendroff, our CPA, sure. and they're really our my financial advisory board, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's you know, Sean, and we talk again. It's something that I value a lot, mm-hmm. and that's you know, they'll tell me if we're not doing the right things, or if we're, you know, I talk to them about when I do my hires, you know, I talk to them about when I need to make some moves, like we just went into a new 5,000 square foot building. We purchased a lot of equipment to get into the building, like, you know, racks and mm-hmm. furniture, and mm-hmm. You know, we now have 11 employees full time. Mm-hmm. We have about 60 contractors that we do nationally and globally. But you know, every time we do a major acquisition or a move, we just moved up into the Bay Area, took over a company up there, and we're launching a whole product line in the Bay Area. And we're about to move across the country, you know, really launching our product. So those are the things that we talk about.
Outstanding.
And I'd like to follow up on your question about the first time when I met Joe. To his credit, and we've talked about this, Richard, about preparing to go talk to a bank. He had a three-ring binder with all of his financials in it, projections, exactly what his company did, his bio, mm-hmm. his managed, his right-hand person's bio. He had everything under the sun. So it was very easy as a banker to kind of digest what the company had done and where it was going. And for all of you, you know, fast-growing companies out there, you know, take note of that. That makes a big difference when you're talking to a bank.
You know, I notice a lot of fast-growing companies sometimes have a tendency to get behind on their financial reporting because it's obviously not the thing that's driving their profits. And, I mean, that can be very dangerous because business changes so fast. You know, historical financial statements are great, but you've got to be able to use them looking at the future. And I think that's where consultation or collaboration really comes into play. When you're growing as quickly as you are, you obviously are focused on the future. You don't care about the past, right?
Sell it, install it. Everything else you have to have people for.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great homegrown story because you are a San Diego native, right, Joe? And you're born and raised and
yes, I am.
Schooled here. I mean, and that's terrific. So, but I think we're coming up on our second break here, news, sports, and weather. Justin, are you there? We'll come back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life live from La Valencia Hotel right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back with the second half of It's Your Money and Your Life. Over to Richard to thank all of our wonderful sponsors.
Thanks to all of our sponsors. We couldn't do it without you. Lovely La Vie. We are live from La Vie. Thank you, La Valencia. And Tammy and Daniel and everybody who brings all these goodies in.
And Mark DiBella, of course.
And Mark DiBella, general manager that make all of my guests and my co-host, well, sort of hard to manage. But anyway, we're having fun. UBS, just down the street, Mr. Michael Coranta and Drew Freitas. Thank you very much, UBS. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, Polito Epic CPAs up in Vista, Don Epic and Paul Polito, Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Best estate planning attorney in town, Mr. Rich Gaines with Family Legacy Legal. He's coming up, I think, later this month. So that'll be fun. Always fun with Rich. Last week's guest, Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics. And the new baby, Quinn. That was fun. We had a baby in studio. Very well behaved. Usually, you know, I remember when my kids were 7 months old, we couldn't bring them to a radio studio. But
now Demi's here. So
well, she's now 17. Okay. I can bring her to a radio studio. But Jason, thank you very much. Carl Sheeler with Business Valuations Limited. Hey, I just sent you an email with the last tax return you're missing for that valuation I just sent you. So check your inbox, my friend. Carl does great work. And last but not least, Regents Bank, Steve Sefton, Sean Puckett. Sean, before we get back to Joe DiMona, how can our listeners contact Regents Bank or find you?
They can find me at 619-446-5580 or spuckett at Regents Bank.
Okay, and where do you surf again in case they don't want to see you in a suit?
I surf at Sunset Cliffs right out in front of my house.
Okay, you can also find Sean at Sunset Cliffs. And Joe, how can our listeners find out about all of our great sponsors? That was hard to say.
Well, if they get over to our website at iymoney.com and click on the sponsors tab, they could find all of the great information about our sponsors, all of whom are wonderful professionals, seasoned and just outstanding, and you've known them how many centuries? Rich?
I've known some of them since the 1980s, believe it or not.
So we vouch for the professionals.
These are long-standing collaborative relationships.
Absolutely.
So it's been fun for many, many years. It's great to have such a great crew of sponsors who are the best of brand in every field. So, Joe DiMona, getting back to ITAV Solutions, I was checking out some of your customers that you can talk about in public, Qualcomm, Raytheon, Sharp Healthcare. How does such a young company get access to and actually have customers that are some of the who's who here in San Diego? What makes you guys so special? Because obviously there's something special there.
I appreciate that. You know, I think it has to do with being small and being able to move and shake. You know, large companies have large demands. We're working with a lot of IT departments, and when you're in an IT department for a large organization, everyone's your customer internally. So, you know, when you get the request, hey, something's down, something's broken, you don't want to be put on hold. You don't want to be told that you could get to it in a couple of weeks. And when you're a young company like ITAV Solutions is, you know, you answer the phone and you take the business and you, you know, work weekends and you go down there, same day service, 2 hour response times, we'll jump when you need us to.
I love it when I call with an emergency anywhere and you get this recording says saying, your call is very important to us.
Yeah, right.
And if you want this, press 1. If you want that, press 2. And if you want this other thing, press 2. It's like, no.
Completely frustrating.
Completely frustrating. So you said two-hour turnaround?
Yeah, I mean, most of our turnaround times for response for service calls, emergency service calls, it could even be immediate. You know, we'll have a truck run. And it's not like we have guys just sitting around waiting, but because of our unique business model, we have, as Sean mentioned, a scalable model where we're able to dispatch techs on the ready, and we have backup plans to backup plans. So if we need qualified men immediately, we can, or women.
So sort of a related question. You mentioned the move. New facility, doing a starting a company up in the Bay Area or acquiring one, growing rapidly. Can you talk a little bit about capital and how important capital is to a business, but sort of a nuance on that comment. How important is having access to capital to you?
I tell you, I think the latter is more important. It's having the ability. You know, in every business, we've had our best months and we've had our not-so-great months. And being able to normalize those spikes one way or the other is incredible. So just knowing that it's there and knowing you don't have to be reactionary to, you know, either employees or to plans that you set in motion by being inefficient and stopping those plans, you could keep moving forward even in a downturn. And, you know, with Sean at Regions Bank, we're pretty confident that if we have a 6 or 8 month strand of downturn, or if we run into some of the things, you know, we could last through that. And that's not going to be a problem. We don't have to shut the doors.
Yeah, that's neat. Sean, can you comment on, without being specific as to number, the kinds of things that you expect to receive from ITAV Solutions in terms of financial statements, tax returns, how, you know, what kind of timeliness you're looking for? Because I think it'd be good for some of our listeners who are business owners to hear about what a banker is looking for from a company to have a successful relationship where everybody is sort of working together for the same goal.
Well, for a service-based company that has accounts receivable, we're looking for accrual-based financial statements. And we're looking for financial statements that even if they're company prepared on a quarterly basis or something, you know, that the numbers tie out, that they make sense. And so in Joe's case, he has a CPA look over those every quarter to make sure that they're accurate because he cares about the accuracy. But once a company is in a credit relationship with the bank, they're generally submitting their internally prepared financial statements on a quarterly basis. And it's a balance sheet, a profit and loss, accounts receivable aging report, and that gives the banker just a quick snapshot of kind of where the company's at. And I'm sorry to say that some banks use that as, hey, let's look for red flags and problems. And I don't look at it that way. I look at it as an opportunity for me to take a look at the company and see where they need help, see where we may need to have a conversation, and where I might be able to just point out a blind spot or a weakness or a trend, and then come to the table and talk about it, not because it's a problem that the bank's worried about, but that it's because it's valuable to the business owner to have a second set of eyes looking through different lenses at the same financial information.
Does Joe, I can ask you this question. Do you also do forward-looking financial statements or cash flow projections or things that attempt to peer into the future based on the baseline that the historical financials represent?
You know, we try to, but, you know, if it isn't, you're only as good as your next month's number. So,
yeah,
you know,
true.
It's tough to project. I mean, we're kind of a buy here, pay here. We don't have a lot of residual income from and reoccurring income on projects. So, you know, it's really, again, a sell it and install it immediate impact on our numbers. But some of the things that we are looking for, you know, if we're going into a market, we're expecting something out of that market before we know. And we know how long it's going to probably take to get that out of there. So
I've noticed by your website here, you've got projects going on all over the U.S., and then I see some in Europe and the Middle East and in Asia. So how did you pick up clients that far away? You know, just you must have
You must have hired some good salespeople or some...
Cold calling.
Right.
Actually, ITAV does have a very unique business model where we don't even have any sales folks. We rely 100% on our partners and their sales staff to bring us in as an audiovisual arm of their company.
So you keep
getting
referred and referred and referred.
It's all referral-based, 100%.
Wow. Well, that's testament to your excellence.
So your referral-base would be people like leasing agents, other contractors?
Yeah, that's correct. Like Sharp Business Systems is one of our really good clients. They're a subsidiary. Actually, they're owned by Sharp, Sharp Electronics.
Mm-hmm.
They have multiple sales staff. They have, multifunction printers, copier scanners, things of that sort. So their sales staff are really entrenched into accounts, and they'll bring us in and also be able to help sell some of their items. So being able to have a company work with them and having our whole business model set up to be able to be like a wholesale AV company,
allow,
not to give away the secret sauce, but not too many businesses in the audiovisual industry can do that because they have sales staff. Huh. That's their limiting factor. So,
You mentioned you just have 11. Did you say 11 employees? Did I hear that right?
11 W-2.
Mm-hmm. 11 W-2. So you're, in other words, you're outsourcing or independent contractor in a lot of functions.
Yes, we are.
Was that a conscious decision, or did it just sort of evolve that way?
Well, it didn't. It evolved out of some real world experience. I've been a part of a lot of small organizations. This is actually my second company. My first company was back in 1999. Did a little My Home Technology company, and we did home technology, built a lot of the 56 Rancho Santa Fe, and did premise wiring in the house. And we went out of business. Actually had financial capital from angel investors, and it went out of business as soon as 9/11 hit.
Mm.
And so, we saw that. We had 20 employees at the time. We all had to get absorbed into other companies. And then those companies went and scaled up, and we ran into another issue, and they became highly leveraged on their employees and overhead. And something else happens in the industry, and they had to shut down. And so that's happened 3 or 4 times with me where I've seen it, being an asset for organizations, building organizations from 1 to 30 million. I know how to do that well for companies. And then something happens where you just become too big. And if some, again, it comes back to capital too, if you can't weather the storm. So you
build a team on a project by project basis, it seems like.
Yeah, you don't want to be able to
give you a lot of flexibility, right?
Capitalize on the good times and being able to contract on the bad times. Mm-hmm. All of our employees, we hire some of the best employees, in my opinion, on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Really looking at the person, not the role. We like to have people that can do multiple roles within an organization, cross training all the time. All of our technicians are also certified. We don't even have a lot of our own technicians because they're also project managers. They're also engineers.
Mm-hmm.
So these same guys know full well coming into this role that they could turn a wrench if need be in a downturn. They could go out and engineer a proposal. They could even, cold call if we need them to. We haven't had to yet, but again, short of being laying people off in a downturn, I think it's short-sighted to think that our economy and this world will never hit a downturn again. I mean, look at the news.
Yeah, I mean, everything is cyclical. So given that you're using such a unique model, are you having people in the industry come to you because you're now considered such an attractive alternative because you're different?
We don't have a lot of this radio show is actually the first time that people probably in the San Diego Business Journal recognition. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people know about us, to tell you the truth. So
interesting.
That could happen, and we'd welcome it. I think it's something that companies, this kind of a fresh business model, is something that's important for companies to look at.
So I know you can't keep up a growth rate of 378% over 3 years, or maybe you can do better.
yeah, why not?
But if you're looking 3, 4, 5 years down the road, what do you think you're going to see with your company?
We're going to be entrenched in we're getting contractors licenses across the country right now. We have 25 applications in. I'm taking tests all around the globe or all around the country right now. We're looking at other companies around the globe to be able to partner with. We're constantly looking at partners to be able to offset our sales and installations.
Mm-hmm.
And again, our secret sauce is being able to do engineering in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And we're launching a new product right now. It's a new internal workflow application, which allows us to manage this communication back to our clients and capture things from our sales side. So we're going to be a very good sales management and operations management organization.
Is that something you have to patent? Is that, or is it more of just a...
My background in IT, I started in the IT world and kind of merged into the AV world. My background is in CRM application design and development, won an award in 2007 for Microsoft's Pinnacle Award in a certain industry, in the audiovisual industry. So I've designed things like this, and I understand, I think, from a workflow, operation of a company, you need to understand how collections ties into installation. Mm-hmm. You need to know who's to communicate something about a service call. So being able to tie that all in together and automate certain tasks that are very people-oriented, I guess you say, is the is the way that would get let down, right? You want to automate the things that, are prone to having mistakes and have people in charge of things that are, could be scalable.
So you see yourself having a presence in virtually every major market in the U.S. ultimately for expanding across country?
Yeah, absolutely. Government, healthcare, the whole gamut in the commercial. We're really staying out of the home purposely. We have done a few homes for like the CEOs or management of our clients. I have roots in the home, doing a lot of the 56 corridor and Rancho Santa Fe and things of that sort. So it's not but I think that there's a better need for us, and we're a better fit for the commercial application.
Biotech is...
We're in, we have biotech companies right now. Alere Pharmaceuticals is one of our clients. Absolutely. I mean, in the Bay Area, there's a whole host of the technology companies up there. So,
well, it's great that you have a lot of businesses that you can serve, because not every business can do that. So, but we have to do a little business right now and take a break, Richard. So,
great time, Joe.
We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life. Hang on. All right, we're yakking away here. We almost missed the comeback. We only have about 4 minutes left, but we're back with the first vice president of Regions Bank.
Sean Puckett Sean would be
Puckett.
His name, Joe.
Sean
yeah.
Puckett. I think I had too much of that Tammy's
wine. Joe's been drinking too much tonight.
And a real live, living, breathing CEO, Joe DeVona of ITAV. So welcome back, gents.
So, Joe, you ITAV maintains the Qualcomm Museum.
I took a tour there, and I think we should all go back. It's phenomenal. It's all the audiovisual in there was just really... you just get totally engaged and enmeshed in this stuff, seeing the early generation of cell phones and then all the information that goes with it. And I didn't have enough time. I mean, I could have stayed there for hours, but so that's really great that you do that. I wasn't aware, so congratulations on that.
Neat place. Everybody should check that out. Well, it's not open to the public necessarily, but we can make arrangements.
Well, I think if you call up and you're a bona fide visitor, they'll make an arrangement to tour you through.
So, Sean Puckett, Regions Bank, do all of your customers look like Joe DeVona and ITAV Solutions, or what do your customers look like?
Our customers look like San Diego-based businesses that have revenues between $5 and $100 million, and they generally make a widget or something you can touch, or they're a service-based business. And
what is a widget? I'm just kidding. Sorry. I couldn't resist because we use widgets as examples all the time, but I don't know what one is.
It's a tangible thing.
It's a tangible
thingamajig. Let's get technical.
So are things turning around? I mean, we had this big crash in 08 and 09. That was the motivation behind Joe starting his own company. Are you seeing things smoothing out a little bit for business in San Diego or Southern California?
The businesses that I bank are all having positive trends. They, the business owners have more confidence than they've had in previous years. And I think that our recovery from the Great Recession has been slower than we hoped, but it's been a slow positive trend. And I think we've kind of gotten used to that, waking up every day, and it's a little bit better than yesterday.
Sean, are you finding more of your successful clients going global? I mean, they can't just depend on domestic markets anymore. Do they have to think beyond our borders, or what do you think?
Yes, if their competition is global.
Mm-hmm.
No, if it's an industry that doesn't have to go global. But, yeah, absolutely.
Well, technology
is leveling the playing field, right?
Yeah.
So we've got an international landscape, and it's not just – mm-hmm. San Diego-centric or United States-centric anymore.
Mm-hmm. Terrific.
So, Sean, Are the businesses that you bank, are they still concerned about the uncertainty in the tax code and what's going on legislatively with regard to the fiscal cliff and sequestration and the just what seems to be grotesque uncertainty with what we might be looking at with tax rules down the road? Or do people not worry about that?
I don't think as people are as in tune to it as you are, and maybe they should be. Maybe we need more education. But I don't see people holding back on decisions. People are moving their companies forward.
Joe, as a business owner, does this uncertain tax regime this country have concern you at all? I'm just curious, as an owner.
You know, my eyes really aren't focused on that, I got to be honest. But I hope so. I hope not.
Hey, folks, we have to wrap it right there. But thanks so much for being our guest.
That was a short last segment.
That was. It was. But we are about ready to go off, Richard. So thank you for being here. Thank you, Joe and Sean. Thank you to Justin Hart back in the studio. Thank you to Craig Blank, our con executive.
Tammy and Daniel from La Vie.
Tammy and Chef Daniel, of course, and Mark DiBella. And then, of course, Dave Sniff, our programming genius. So everyone have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday night live from La Valencia. Enjoy San Diego and get out there. Take care.